Saddle up your horses.
Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walter Show, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you today. Of course, a packed program as usual. It's what happens when I can only do this once a week. And I guess I will, as long as I continue to practice law almost full time. Anyway, so much to cover here. I'm going to start with some good news here today. I like this news that Israel used its Iron Dome defense to protect the United Arab Emirates from Iranian attacks. Now, I don't understand the Iron Dome. I don't need to understand it. It's a great tool. Needs to be updated because the enemy's always updating their arsenal to be able to penetrate these things. So it's sort of an arms race of sorts, technology against technology, and who's got the latest and the best. But never for a second would I have thought that you could employ the Iron Dome defense in a country which is a couple of countries away. I mean, the United Arab Emirates is on the Arabian Gulf on the east side of Saudi Arabia. I don't even know how that works. But leave it up to the Israelis to figure out a way to do that and to protect one of their Arab neighbors. Now, it may be that the UAE is one of the Muslim countries. They're Sunnis. They're not Shia. The Shia are the really whacked out ones. That's Iran and Yemen and Hezbollah and Gaza. But in any case, maybe they supply Israel with the oil. I don't know. But anyway, it's good news. Next. I like this. Sorry, I just do. The U.S. is now planning to add firing squads to federal executions. They're also adding electrocution and gassing. Now, I don't know what the method was before because I thought those were the only three that existed. Well, I guess there's hanging. I think in Utah you can hang people still. But they're going to add particularly the firing squads. And I think that it would probably be, you're going to probably turn the program off. I think it would be a good idea if they were televised in some fashion. You got all of the, you got everybody being blasted away by women cops on TV programs and movies all the time. Everybody's dying all over the place. Send a real message. This is what happens. Well, okay, next, moving right along. And not really good news, but just news. The Democrats are really upset that the Supreme Court brought to an end race-based gerrymandering. Now, the Democrats are the ones that are supposedly standing up for blacks all the time, although the Democrats are the ones, the party of slavery. The South was all Democrat when during Jim Crow laws passed by Democrats. They're all bad, all Democrats. The 1968 Civil Rights Act was passed by Republicans, not Democrats. But this is amazing. This is a hypocrisy of the left. They're calling the end of race-based gerrymandering to be racist. Wrap your arms around that. They're calling the end of discrimination as being discriminatory. I don't know. You know why anybody would ever vote Democrat? I guess you would if you've had a frontal lobotomy. Maybe I could see those people voting Democrat. Next piece, and I'm going to fly right down through some things here to get to a comparison that I want to do here later in the program. I'm going to compare the United States Israel and Iran on something. Well, it's going to shock you. But we're dealing with a war powers situation here now. And the war powers, it came out of the Vietnam War. And the fact that if you're going to engage, this is abbreviated, the truncated version, not Trumpcated, but truncated version of the War Powers Act. If you're going to engage in these hostilities, which I guess would be more of a police action, if it's going to extend beyond 60 days, then you have to get authority from Congress. This was designed so that coming out of Vietnam, you could not have a president simply commit the country to what in essence is a never-ending war. As the executive, they're going to give the president the authority to engage in things that appear to be necessary, maybe urgent right at the moment. But after 2 months, you've got to get authority from Congress. Well, the war in Iran, which Trump declared that we won on day one, now is finishing up 2 months. Wrong. We didn't win, Donald. Although he says we've won, he just wants to win bigger. He's not satisfied with the size of the win. We haven't done anything, really. But anyway, the administration says that to meet the War Powers Resolution or law timeline, that they need to terminate hostilities, and that their hostilities were terminated by the ceasefire prior to the 60 days. So in other words, they're saying, you know what, we don't need to go to Congress because the war has been stopped. It's ceased. We didn't hit the 60-day threshold. Now, there are a couple of real problems with this. Number one, can you get a new 60 days? Is Trump going to say that on the 62nd day, if he's got to bomb something, that it's a new set of hostilities? I don't think Congress is that dumb, and the Republicans need to step up to that. Republicans need to step up to a bunch of stuff here that's going on, and they need to push back. Trump is not magic in campaigns anymore. He's becoming more toxic to be associated with campaigns. I'm just saying, as you know, I love his policies. I hate his demeanor. And the question would be, well, can he get a new 60 days? No. I see no way. If that went to the Supreme Court, he would and should lose. You can't go, all right, 59 days, let's just stop for a little bit, and then 65 days we'll start up and get a new fresh 60 days. Understand that this ceasefire was not mutual. It's unlimited, and it was unilateral. Trump just granted the ceasefire because he couldn't get a deal done, which is part of the problem. Donald's Art of the Deal deals with real estate transactions in the Bronx and other places, not with Iranians. This is where the Art of the Deal fails. He doesn't know what he got himself into, or he does, but I don't know. But this is not going to work. I would shut it down as a Supreme. You can't just stop and start the 60 days and get a fresh start whenever you want and manipulate the law to fit your plans. Now, because he cannot do that legally, and he has an unlimited ceasefire that's unilateral, no, you can't do that. But now, this is problem number two. Do you think Iran, do you think the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps knows that he can no longer actually levy bombs upon Iran because he would get called out by Congress and need authority? Trump is not doing it because he can't do it. And Iran, knowing that he can't do it, now has him hogtied. The question is the blockade hostilities? Probably not, unless we start, taking out boats and other things of Iran, start shooting the little attack boats that they've got and so forth. I don't know where that ends, but they've got time. And I said this a couple of weeks ago when the ceasefire went into effect. This is stupid. This is Trump not knowing what to do because he got himself into something he does not know how to get out of. So he's got the ceasefire. And what does it do? Well, as I said, all it does is allow Iran time to rebuild, rearm, do whatever they need to do, and now they've got an unlimited time because the ceasefire is unlimited. And so I'm doing this on Friday morning, May 1st. And the story broke just before I got to my little studio here that Iran has used the ceasefire, which was easily predictable. The administration has to know this, but they're stuck. They're using it to relocate their launch sites for their ballistic missiles. And they're relocating them to the east and have relocated some, which are beyond the range of the missiles that we have been using, which is 1,700 miles. And with that, now the administration says they are considering using the hypersonic missiles, which have a greater range. Maybe, you know what, maybe they're the ones that have the 1,700-mile range. I'm not sure what the other ones had. But anyway, they have a longer range. They travel at 5 times the speed of sound. That's fast, folks. That is really fast. It's on you before you know it. But why are they considering the hypersonic missiles? Because the ceasefire has allowed Iran to move their missile sites out of reach of the existing capability that we have been using in Iran. And now they're sitting there with full knowledge of the War Powers Act that Trump can't do anything without having with a Supreme Court case being smacked in his face, which he should and would lose. You don't get this fresh start every 61 days if you stop things on day 59. He's stuck. We're stuck. And the midterm elections, you can almost write them off. I don't see a way that this gets pulled off. And Trump's going to just have to eat crow, which he does not like. He will throw up before he'll eat crow. Like I said, love his policies, hate his demeanor. His demeanor is costing us a lot of money in gas. His demeanor, his pride is costing us a lot of respect in the world. And, you know, it's sad. I talked with a fellow just yesterday, one of the biggest Trump people out there. He said, I just can't stand this guy's guts anymore. If he brags about one more thing, you know, I'll just throw up. He's turning off people left and right. Because he's Mr. Braggadocia. He's a bloviating, blustering, whatever. And it's sad. Almost every single error Trump has made, with the possible exception of the war thing, which might have been the result of other people's influence on him. I'm not saying that was all his. Who knows what all went into that decision and who had influence and who had more influence than others. But other than that, everything else here has been unforced errors. I got to quit saying it because I've been saying it for months. Trump, shut up. Even the Iranians. I looked at the meme that they did. I mean, it's pretty with AI. You know what? You can look it up. I don't need to spend more time on that. But I do want to bring out something here that I think is pretty interesting in light of the last 3 or 4 months of Democrat behavior. And that deals with King Charles coming to the U.S. So he gets a rousing ovation in Congress. He gives a great speech. Trump's even a little bit jealous, I think. Because he got standing ovations from Democrats and Republicans. And King Charles hit on some topics that Trump didn't like the way they came across. And I think Trump's mother was English, so he's got this connection with England ethnically. There's a historical relationship with the country. In fact, I think Trump is Scottish, if I'm not mistaken, or at least part Scotch. And as a result of King Charles' visit, he eliminated the tariffs on Scotch whiskey, which is a mistake. I don't know whether the tariff's a mistake or not, but moving tariffs around just as political favors to somebody is not right. That's the way things have been done far too long. But I want to bring out something here. I'm going to read from this piece written by Annie Lebreton in the Washington Post, dealing with King Charles' visit. She said, King Charles III was treated to a big helping of Americana on Thursday, yesterday, the final day of the state visit aimed at healing ties between Britain and the United States strained by the war in Iran. Said Charles and Camilla's day, and I'm not a big Charles fan. I'm going to say this. First of all, he celebrated Ramadan and didn't celebrate Easter. He sucked into the peaceful Muslim garbage. I could go on with a bunch of things that I don't like about him, but they're not relevant to this story. He gave a very royal-sounding speech, and people loved it. Back to the article. Charles and Camilla's day started with a somber visit to Arlington National Cemetery just outside Washington, where they laid a wreath and flowers at the hilltop tomb of the unknown soldier honoring America's unidentified war dead. But from there, the couple attended a block party. I think this is kind of cool. In a town which I've actually wanted to go to, and I never have, it's called Front Royal, Virginia. And it has a Civil War connection to that city, or maybe it's a Revolutionary War. I can't remember which war, but Front Royal. That sounds, you got royalty who's front and center. So a block party in Front Royal, Virginia, marking this year's 250th anniversary since American independence from Britain, said this aptly named small town pulled out all the stops with a cheering crowd greeting Charles and Camilla and a parade in their honor. And the couple keenly inspected local food offerings, which I'm just going to throw in here, probably did not include bangers and mash. But they met the area's Little League baseball team, and they chatted with a farmer holding a bleeding one-day-old lamb named Charles. Then the royals nodded along as the dancers in flouncy dresses. Flouncy, I haven't really heard that word in a long time. Flouncy dresses performed clogging. It's a dance that my wife knows a little bit. It's kind of an Appalachian kind of a dance, but it's described here as, quote, an American folk dance similar to tap set to high-energy bluegrass music. And that's exactly the correct description. And for the party's potluck table, the king and queen, the guests of honor, contributed to the potluck coronation quiche, Victoria sponge cake, and honey from the royal hives. Now, why am I telling you all this? Yeah, you are wondering. Okay, they get a rousing ovation before Congress from Democrats and Republicans. You have people rolling out the red carpet in Virginia. And some of these people are the ones who have spent the last 3, 4, 5 months at no King's rallies. And what did they do for 4 days? Nothing but celebrate a king. The No King's rally was never about kings. They love Charles. They just hate Donald Trump. It was a No Trump rally. But that's the only thing they got to campaign on. Is we hate Trump, we hate Trump, we hate Trump. They need something a little deeper, but they don't really have it. But the Democrats are enthusiastically cheering anything and everything about a king, King Charles. not even realize are utter and utter hypocrisy. That's just a reflection of their frankly horrific demeanor. It's one of their defining characteristics is hypocrisy. To then have no king rallies and they celebrate a king. Okay. You know what? I am not going to spend time because you have heard it before this past week because about the assassination attempt, the shooter's manifesto. He told the family he was willing to kill most anyone at dinner to get to the top of the pack, which is Trump. The only reason I bring this up is the incredible. Is Barack Obama brain dead, or does he think we are brain dead? When he comes out and acknowledges that this is horrible and says, we don't really know the motive. We're trying to figure out what's the motive of this attacker. It's in his manifesto, jerk. Come on, Barack. No wonder you're Barack insane Obama. You really think we're that stupid? I mean, all the other Democrats cannot deny the fact that this guy's manifesto could not be clearer. He hates Republicans. He hates Christians. He hates Trump. He hates everybody in the cabinet. He's out to kill as many as he wants. And he writes about it, then photographs himself in the hotel room of his selfies 10 minutes before the attack, and then writes his family telling him what he's going to do. And Barack, insane Obama, has the gall to come out and say, we don't really know the motive. Hey, Barack, we don't know why you were ever elected. The worst president in the history of the United States until Joe Biden came along. And that's the reason you picked him. You had to have somebody who made you look good. And Joe was the guy. Oh. Okay. I'm gonna jump back to an Iranian-based piece here. No, before I do that, I've got to go back to the Democrats here. I love this piece coming from the Babylon Bee. And they don't even have to read the article. You simply have to read the title. And the title is a gazillion miles long, which is sort of the article. The left wants to say that the violence in this country is a two-sided issue. This is a both sides issue, they say. This is a side. The side that says that is the one that shot President Trump. It's the side that assassinated Charlie Kirk, the one that tried to assassinate Kavanaugh, tried to shoot Trump again, shot Steve Scalise, firebombed Governor Shapiro's home, tried to shoot Trump a third time, murdered school kids in Minnesota, murdered school children in Nashville, burned an elderly Jewish woman to death in Colorado, murdered a couple at the Jewish embassy in D.C., seized campus buildings and held janitors hostage, assaulted students on campus who appeared Jewish, ambushed ICE offices in Dallas, shot an officer in the neck, assassinated FBI officer David Underwood, assassinated the UnitedHealthcare CEO, cheered the murder of over 1,200 civilians on October 7th in Israel, murdered school kids in Colorado in 2019, injured over 700 police officers in 2020 riots, murdered retired police captain David Dorn, murdered a 16-year-old boy in the Chaz area, burned down Minneapolis, firebombed a Washington ICE center, murdered six people in Waukesha, and I'm not done. These are the people that say the problem is on both sides. They could not put a list one-tenth this long of what's happened from on the side of the right. Not even close. It's just, it's pathetic. Just how hypocritical, lying sack of crap the left is. If you got children that are Democrats, consider leaving your inheritance to somebody more worthy. And that's biblical. I think it's in the book of Ephesians. It says that a faithful servant should share in the inheritance of a wicked son. Now, obviously, we don't want to leave women out, so it would be wicked daughters too. And it doesn't necessarily mean to entirely disinherit them, but leave money to other more worthy people than your children if your children have gone sideways. Even if they're going sideways, has a lot to do with you. And if you bear some responsibility for that. Okay, one other thing here before we get to get some things we need to get to. And the piece comparing is Iran, America, and Israel. The California implosion, moral implosion, financial implosion. People say, ask me why I left California. And I said, you know what? I don't have the time to tell you. But, you know, give me your email and I'll just start off with the top 17 reasons. Then we'll go from there. Not that any state is perfect. But so I've just got to vote with my feet, I'm afraid. Sorry, but it's time to go. California is now seeking to legalize polyamorous unions. Now, if this requires a little bit of explanation, poly means many, right? It's like poly, kind of like politics. Politics means many blood-sucking insects. Politics. Okay, well, bad joke, but polyamorous means a union which is not limited to two people. So this is sort of the attempt to legalize multiple marriages. The Mormons should love this one because some of them still believe that. And I kind of see where they go back. So do the Muslims. They don't stick to one woman. They kind of go and use an Old Testament precedent to have a lot of them. And Israel had that problem. I mean, Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And as I've said before, 700 wives means 700 honeymoons. If they all average 2 weeks apiece, that would be over 15,000 weeks of honeymoon. In which case, you should have something. Instead of going on honeymoon, you should just buy a condo in Miami Beach. And then go there, you'd save money. But 300 concubines. And of course, concubines, it's just all honeymoon all the time. So you've got these multiple marriages in the Old Testament. Muslims picked up on it. Mormons picked up on it. And those practices exist today. Though many Mormons, I think the Mormon Church has sort of officially outlawed that or come out against it, though they're in no position to stop what they have started. So if you end up with three wives and two husbands, how does that work out? How does it work out who's on the birth certificate of a child? How does it work out in a divorce? Who gets custody? Do the kids go around the horn? You get them once every 5 weeks because you got five parents? You see, the devil loves confusion. He's the author of it. It just so happens that he sits in the governor's office vicariously in California and in the state house, also called the assembly, the state senate, the state supreme court, and every single high-level office in the state of California is occupied by a Democrat. I will tell you, I don't have any doubt but what they will go down this path, because for people that are going down the path of evil, they're practiced in it, they're polished in it, they believe in it. What's the next step? Just more evil, more confusion. Don't go away. This is Rob Walder with Robin Walder's Show. We'll be right back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Here she comes again.
When she's dancing beneath the starry sky.
Okay, I don't play that one too often, but I like it. That was quarter sort of at the end of the portion of my life where I was really glued to pop music. Anyway, the rest of the program, the second half of the program, is going to deal entirely with Iran and Iranian-related matters and the president and this country. I'm going to start off reading from an article, however, by David Lane. He's a great writer. And I'm going to kind of edit this a bit from what he wrote. But for the most part, I'm just going to quote him on things that, like I've said before, somebody else says something better than I can, I'm going to quote them. I'm not going to try to make it my own. I do not do that. He in this article, I'm going to pick up partway through that, the West has a chronic habit of romanticizing ideological tyrants, excusing barbarism, and mistaking revolutionary fervor for moral legitimacy. He says, and as for the fantasy that Iran's beleaguered people, unarmed, empty-handed, and largely abandoned by the West, can somehow overthrow a regime armed to the teeth and practice mass murder. That is just that, fantasy. I'm going to stop there a second, because the key word here is unarmed. If anything that Iran should teach us beyond the mess that we're in right now is that you are subject to complete totalitarian control as long as a populace is unarmed. The people need to be armed to the teeth. Multiple guns, lots of ammo. A government that fears the people is freedom. But the people that fear the government, that's called tyranny. Iran is where it is for one reason. The people cannot fight back. No arms, and you can't get arms to them. They are simply at the behest and the mercy, of which there is none, by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps and the other 195,000 thugs that make up that army. They're unarmed. Iran should show us this above anything else, that if we lose our Second Amendment rights, and before we lose them, we need a civil war to keep them, if that's what it comes to. Why not? Because it's over. If we surrender, maybe we have a chance of winning. And I'm talking in terms of defense. I'm not talking about trying to overthrow the government. That's unbiblical. But self-defense is very biblical when they come to disarm us and take away our ability to defend ourselves against a tyrannical, overbearing, overreaching, invasive, unbiblical, horrific federal government. Okay. Now, my little insertion here is over. I'm back to reading the article. President Trump may have thought he was ready for the fight, but one can only hope he did not bite off more than he could chew when he posted on Truth Social on January 13th, which is when the 30-some thousand, very shortly, they were getting killed and murdered for protesting. He said, quote, keep protesting. Take over your institutions for help is on its way. That was never fulfilled. Help was never on the way. He thought it was. The only thing that could help these people is arms in the hands of the citizens to shoot and kill as many IRCG as possible. IRGC. Did I say that right? Oh, yeah. That's right. He goes on to say, if the United States weakens the regime, stirs hope among the oppressed, and then steps back before the tyrants are broken, it will amount to the ultimate betrayal of a people crying out for freedom. To awaken hope and then abandon the captive before the liberation is secured would be a historical blow to the cause of freedom. Now, I've got to insert here. Iran hates America. They hate Israel. Death to America, death to Israel. But Michael Youssef, who's an Egyptian-born American pastor, broadcaster, pastors a church in Atlanta, he said in a book, he said, talking about the proverb frequently cited by radical Islamists. Well, I call all Islamists radical. I'm quoting here. I think radical is a redundancy. Islam is radical. You don't have to put radical to identify them. But the quote was, first the Saturday people, then the Sunday people. First, Jews worship on Saturday. Kill them first. Then Sunday is when Christians worship. Kill them second. Take out Israel first. Take out America second. Why are they after us even though we may be second? Because we're critical in propping up Israel. So they can get at Israel better and easier and quicker if we are impacted or prevented in some way in helping them as much as possible. The Iranians are simply playing a waiting game until Donald Trump is out of office and you got some left-wing Democrat in office who will start to hate Israel, and that's when the end has formally begun for the United States of America, when we turn on them. He goes on to say here, quote, Islam presses toward domination, not harmony, submission, not liberty. Historically, that condition has been described as dimitude. You can look it up. I have read the Quran, so I know what I'm talking about here. Dimitude is D-H-I-M-M-I-T-U-D-E, and described here in this article as the reduction of dissenters or non-Muslims to subordinate status under an Islamic order. In other words, you're second-class citizens. And I'm going to read from some imams in the coming weeks here. The sooner you know this, the better. The sooner you read the Quran, realize you're totally screwed if you think that they're peaceful. They aren't. They're peaceful until they have the upper hand, and then out come the knives, the swords, and you kiss it goodbye. And then, being subordinate, you also then have to pay the jizra. That's a special heavy tax levied only on non-Muslims. That's what they're going for in Plano, Texas, and Minneapolis, and Dearborn, Michigan. Youssef argues that too many American leaders are too timid, too compromised, too passive to confront the collision with militant Islam now manifesting itself in places like Michigan, Minnesota, and Texas. The problem is not going away. It's coming for our children and our grandchildren. Take Plano, Texas. A project formerly known as Epic City and now reported as The Meadow has been described in local reporting as a planned 402-acre Muslim-centric development northeast of Dallas, four times larger than Disneyland, with more than 1,000 homes, mosque, Muslim schools, elderly and assisted living for Muslims, apartments, blah, blah, blah. Probably they get that, then they will have Sharia law. It's amazing. Just got to give a bit of insert a warning here. Don't let anyone, and I mean anyone, tell you what Islam is like until you read not just about it, but you read the Quran. Goofball George W. Bush, who I strongly supported, kept talking about peaceful Islam. What a schmuck. He was deceived. He was ignorant. He had the wool pulled over his eyes, or he was gutless because he didn't want to call it like it was. This Lane goes on to talk about Solomon and his compromises. His compromises to foreign wives who had foreign gods. And he says here, so it is with men, but so it is with nations. Solomon became a different Solomon in the course of compromise, and America has now become a different America. God's opening judgment in 1 Kings 11 was to raise up adversaries against an idolatrous Solomon. And I should insert, I have talked about this a number of times, mostly on the Faith program, the Sunday morning program. Foes whom the compromised Solomon of his later years, unlike the faithful Solomon of 1 Kings 2, was then powerless to subdue. Our best read is that American Christendom, in theological terms, has reached her kairos, which is God's appointed time. It's a Greek word. I got a couple of Greek listeners. This shouldn't be this Greek to me, maybe not to you, but kairos, K-A-I-R-O-S, means God's appointed time. The sterile and deeply flawed model of successful ministry today that has dominated the last 100 years is our death knell, measured by attendance, holdings, portfolios. The modern American church has been tried and found wanting desperately. To decipher in America what has happened, we have traded apostolic leadership for pastoral maintenance. We've gone from raising up an army of leaders to merely tending flocks of sheep. And as you well know, what is success? Measured by heaven? Heaven's measure? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You don't have to accomplish the purpose to which you've been assigned to. You simply have to be faithful in attempting to fulfill the assignment, which means standing up, means sitting tall in the saddle. You ride for the brand. But we have churches that are ready to dismount the horse and jump on a camel because they don't have the guts to be on a horse anymore and ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. That is where we are headed. Now, I want to lay out for you something. When I started taking notes on this last week, and I have mentioned this before, but I'm going to go into greater detail here, why we are where we are and why we are not winning in, because we aren't winning in Iran. I want to compare Iran, Israel, and America. Okay. The LGBT movement, big, strong, and growing in Israel, the largest queer pride parade in the whole Middle East, and the United States. We've had more gender mutilation in the first 4 months of 2026 than we had the first 4 months of 2025. It's getting worse. So we've got this LGBT crapola, the biggest queer pride parades, and they're growing in Israel and the United States. Does Iran have them? No. Are there abortions in Iran? Maybe, probably. But in Israel and the United States, they're increasingly free. In Israel, they're free for any reason at all. The United States, free for any reason at all, basically, right up essentially to the time of birth. We're slaughtering innocent, unborn children. Now, you say, well, Iran's killed 35,000 in that protest. And yes, that was horrible. Absolutely horrible. We killed 1,108,000 in the United States in 2024 with abortion. Do the math. Our death rate among the innocent is over 3,000% higher than the death rate among innocent people in Iran. They're horrible. We are more horrible. Israel, are there queers in the military? Openly, open queerdom in the Israeli military. We've got clingers in Israel in the military, and we've had clingers in the military in the U.S., openly queer in the U.S., basically. Trump has pushed back against that, and Hegseth, which I applaud them greatly. But we will be back with a Democrat president, and it will be worse than ever. Does Iran have queers in the military? No, they're too busy throwing them off 10-story buildings. In Israel and in America, the United States, sodomy has been legal for a long time. Actually, it's been legal, I think, in the United States since 1988, actually. Sodomy legal in Israel or in Iran? No. How about recognizing queer performances and things? How about all the stuff that is tolerated in the name of queerdom in Israel and the United States? Is it allowed in Iran? No, not at all. Is there support for training these individuals in the military, whether they're queers or trannies? In Israel, yes. In the United States, less so. But it was bad. It's a little better, but it's going to get worse again with a Democrat president. Is it allowed in Iran? No. How about the so-called gender assignment surgery? Allowed for some time in the United States, but also in Israel now since 2023. Now they have gender assignment surgery for the last 3 years. And where is it? It's in Galilee. It's called the Galilee Medical Center is doing tranny gender mutilation surgery. Does Iran have that? Does Muslims have it? No. Now, I could go on and on about the things that are wrong with Islam. But when you get down to these moral issues of great significance, we are to be shamed, and Israel is to be shamed. And Israel has gone through this for millennia. Read the book of Judges. They would sin, they would wander, they would worship false idols. There are heathenistic practices that developed, and every time God would bring in a foreigner, meaning a foreign government, to judge them. They'd get whacked, and maybe they were under that domination for 4 years, 8 years in one case, I know. And then they would just finally confess and cry out to God for help, and God would save them. This has happened over and over and over again. So this is nothing new in Israel. There are Israelis who basically hate Israel, don't like the U.S., and they push for everything that is grossly immoral. And too much is given, much is required. So this is why things don't go well all the time with Israel. However, it's not up to us to judge them and punish them and spank them. That's God's business. He's up to that. But how much has been given to us for which we are responsible? We are a nation that was founded on Christian principles. And if much has been given to us, much is required, we suffer the same consequences, the same judgment. You know, I thought the other day about, all right, say take the state of Massachusetts. The Massachusetts was the first state to have queer marriage. Yep, the fags got the chance to get it together in Massachusetts or any place else. The West Nile virus broke out in Massachusetts. Massachusetts is totally screwed up. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says that judgment begins at the house of God. And Massachusetts was the first proclaimed Christian community in the United States. The first. Judgment begins at the house of God. And why does it begin there? Because to those who should know better, to whom much is given, much is required. Why go spank the daylights out of some country that has never had the gospel preached to it when those who have then turn from the gospel unto their wicked ways? So what happens here? Does America repent? It's hard for America to repent when, frankly, the president is way too in love with himself. I mean, I looked at the other night, a posting he had on Truth Social, Trump's own posting thing, with a map of Iran. And he changed it from the Strait of Hormuz to the Strait of Trump. Now, you've heard me say these things, just that they just keep adding up. He's not winning. And maybe the better strait, the name would be the Strait of Chump. How about the 22-foot gold-leafed statue? It's 15 feet, but it's on a 7-foot pedestal. Gold-leaf statue stands 22 feet high that Trump erected to himself at his golf course in Doral, Florida. A monument to himself, making himself, frankly, really, really unelectable. The people I've talked to that said I'd never vote for him, even though he's got the great policies, I can't stand his demeanor. He's costing us votes. He's costing us an election at this point. Republicans have to stand up, push back, or get crushed. Has he picked up a dog by the ears in Iran? One would think so. And with all of the uranium still left in place, and Iranians regarding uranium, might as well call them the Iranians. I'm thinking of something else I can't really say. But anyway, they said, we're not going to give it up. We're not absolutely not going to give it up. And we're not sending anybody to peace talks. We have no conversation. Just forget it, Trump. And then Trump yesterday says, we've heard from them. They are incredibly eager. They want to make a deal so badly. I'm sorry, Donald, you used that line a couple of months ago. Nobody believes that anymore. Quit trying to maintain your legacy and your image at the expense of the United States. I said last on another program, if he would humble himself like Nebuchadnezzar did, God will answer the prayers. The other alternative is, as we pray for peace, God would have to remove him. Because with all the uranium in place, which the IRCG has said will never be removed, and we're not going to talk with you, and we're going to continue with the toll on ships, what does that mean? That means everything has gotten worse. We have lost this war, Donald. We have at this point. It comes down to where he won't do it, but I've said this from almost day one. You will not dislodge these people. This is not a Brooklyn or Bronx real estate deal. Forget the art of the deal. It's not working here. You're down to two choices. Suck it up, acknowledge defeat, and get out, or you have to nuke them. You only have two choices. There are only two. Argue with that. How do you dislodge them without putting a gazillion boots on the ground to dislodge 195,000 IRGC troops, if you will, that are have all the arms, the people have no arms, and we have no way to get the arms to the people unless Israel's figuring something out. I don't know. I do not know how you get out of this. There's times I think he's picked the dog up by the ears. We're all paying for it. And he has no way out other than to continue a blockade with a never-ending ceasefire because he doesn't know what to do. He is in quicksand, held up only by a couple of ropes that are keeping him out of the muck and mire. He will blame it on somebody else. That's his exit strategy from the art of the deal. The deal doesn't work, find a party to blame it on and move on to the next deal. Again, I feel like I have to keep saying it. I love his, generally speaking, I love his policies. I think he's the best American president policy-wise we may have ever had. His demeanor will sink him. It will sink us. People will be ripping his name off from things, tearing down his statues and everything else. Donald, your legacy will not be the greatest president. They'll be remembered as the greatest president who threw it all away because of a love affair with oneself. Matched maybe only by Gavin Newsom, two of the most narcissistic people to be on an American political scene ever. He has to be humbled. God, please humble this man or take him out or cause him to resign. Something is going to need to change. This isn't working. The old 45 records, which I have a lot of, had an A side and a B side. If you had a great record, you had a great song on the A side and the B side. But the A side here is not working. And the B side is not looking great unless we do something of a greater nature. Something greater, bigger has to happen. Pray for this country, because without repentance, God is going to use and is using a nation that is faithful to a false god, Islam, to judge a nation that's unfaithful to the true God. Mark those words. God bless you. Sit tall in the saddle, America. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. We'll see you next week.